The Wild West of college football just got messier. What's up? Welcome in to the Barn Social Hour, the Monday edition of the Barn Social Hour. My name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. Graham, let's just hop right into it. Over the weekend, had a lot go on in college sports, but one specifically that, you know, could affect Auburn, maybe not, I doubt it, but we'll, you know, kind of hop into it. A judge has basically granted any athlete from the class of 2022 an additional year of eligibility. Why? I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't really look into it that much, but I saw it over the weekend. I was at a bachelor trip with a buddy of mine, shout out Ben Barentine, and I was like, what? And we talked about that along with the combination of the Dodgers ruining baseball. And we were like, yeah, this is going to be the topic for the social hour. And I was like, you bet your mom it is. So we are going to hop right into it. So Graham, kind of what are your thoughts on this? And kind of share if you have like the article or the context of it, kind of, you know, what are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of crazy. I just blown away at how much, you know, power I guess a court has in this and so far in this system. But yeah, doing a little bit of research on it, it's a class-wide preliminary injunction, and that's the word that we've heard all over college sports. You know, that's what Bediako did, that's what Trinidad's done. It's, you know, anyone's trying to get extra eligibility, they get a preliminary injunction giving the high school class of 2022 one more extra fifth year of eligibility. And I think this is because of the new, you know, 5 for 5. They're like, well, hey, we're in college, so we should be allowed to, you know, this should be allowed for us too. So we should all get one more year. Cause you know, and so it excludes players over the age of 24 or those who've already signed a professional sports contract. So for an example, if you went to the draft this year, and you just signed your contract, you know, recently, because you know, fall campus start, training camp is starting for NFL teams, and you've already signed your contract, you're done. See ya. Goodbye.
You're done. You're done.
You're no longer eligible to play. But if you know, you went undrafted and you didn't sign, and I guess you can come back if you want. And from what it sounds like, this goes for any sport. This is, you know, football, basketball, anything. And so, it'll be interesting to see how crazy this gets. Apparently, according to ESPN, the transfer portal opened for these specific people, class 2022, on August 3rd, which I think is today. Yeah. And it's closing in exactly one week. So,
jeez,
I don't know what's going to happen. Crazy from what I've heard, it sounds like Auburn's probably not going to really benefit or, you know, lose. There's a couple names there, here and there, but like on the overall arching, I don't think it's going to affect us much.
No, especially for football. I think Golish has who he already wants as far as this coming season. So I don't think we're really concerned about that. Basketball, I think we're set because I'm sure y'all have seen in the news that Keyshawn Hall, former Auburn Tiger from last season, you know, he transferred in from UCF, is, you know, he was in the summer league and played a couple games, but he never, I don't think, ever actually signed anything. Yeah, so he did not. So he is going back to college, and you know, I've seen Kentucky on the table. I've seen Indiana on the table, which I think is an overwhelming favorite for him.
I've seen Houston on the table for him.
Houston, no way. No way. Their coach will not. No way. I just don't see his attitude and that coach meshing together. I don't see that at all. Loved Keyshawn as a player, but some of the things about him in the locker room were not the greatest in the world. So I don't see that meshing well. But I've seen the overwhelming one was, you know, everyone thinks that he'll end up in Indiana over, you know, the Kentuckys and I think Kansas was on that list too. And I think Memphis.
I'm at that point. I'm like, look, bro, I don't care where you go. Just don't go to an SEC school. Cause
yeah,
I don't want to play.
I don't honestly see Kentucky getting him either, but at the same time, they need all the help they can get. Cause they're not doing that great either at the moment. But Yeah, it's just, it's interesting. I kind of, dude, I don't really know what to think about. Like, it's just every day you think, oh, well, it can't get worse, and it does. And it's this is so, it's just so random. Like, literally, whenever I saw this, like, I'm trying to keep up with, you know, the MLB trade deadline, and this is, comes across my feed, and it's like, dude, what the heck? Like, it's so, I don't know what to expect anymore, to be honest with you. I mean, it changes every single day, it feels like, as far as like college sports and all that jazz. It's just unbelievable that we're at this point right now. It's absolutely insane. And the college sports that I know and love are no longer upon us, you know, as they were, you know, prior to this even happening. But like,
yeah. And I want to clarify something real quick, because I'm not entirely sure. Cause I've read so many, you know, this and that information on this, and this is ever changing, as you know, this can happen. But this says that the judge that ruled this has clarified that her injunction does not block transfer rules, roster caps, and rev share caps. This means that players who receive this extra year cannot transfer and may only play for their former teams.
Interesting.
So I don't know. I you know, it's ever changing. You know, it sounded like there was a portal window. Now there sounds like there might not be one, and that you can only come back to, for in our case, Auburn, or mm-hmm. you know, and if Keyshawn Hall's case, if that's the case, then Auburn would be his only choice if he wanted to come back and play. So I don't know if that's the 100% truth. Like I said, it's very cloudy. It's very like, you know, who. No one really understands what's happening right now.
A lot of gray area,
for sure.
And I think that, again, I think Coach Pearl has who he wants going into this year. I'm not worried about that at all. I just don't, and I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, you know, you can get granted this year of eligibility by a judge like this, but I don't think you have to take it necessarily. I think it's more of just like, hey, if you want it, it's there. If not, no big deal. Type of thing, which I could see why people like Keyshawn Hall want to take it, to be able to like get more experience and maybe, you know, get better and craft something in a, you know, a college level, you know, game before you move up to, you know, the NBA, if he can even make that. If I'm Keyshawn Hall, though, I try to prep for overseas. I'll be honest. That's just me, though, but I don't know. I could be wrong about that. I just think that personally, he was good when he was at Auburn. He was good, you know, at the schools prior, but as far as his game, he just needs to, you know, adjust to the pro game best way that you can, that being overseas, and then, you know, maybe might get picked up. Who knows? I mean, it's happened before, but I'm not saying he's going to be like the next Luka Doncic or anything, but that was Luka. I mean, he grew up in the, you know, playing pro overseas games, and those atmospheres are crazy. I mean, they're literally lighting flares in the crowds for games and stuff like that, setting off a little, what are those things called? Like firecracker? You know what I'm talking about. They're not like firecrackers. There's like a different version, like little crowd poppers, I think is what they're called. That like, it's, I don't know. It's like really loud, like, it's not like a, you know, a bomb or anything, but it's like, you know, just a little like miniature firework, like yeah. that you throw on the ground, and whenever it makes contact, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, they're literally throwing those during the games too. So I'm like, dude, that atmosphere is crazy. Like even the ESPN people that go overseas to watch some of these prospects that, you know, like I think it was a couple years ago, God, it was Wimby's teammate. I can't remember what his name was, but Brian Windhorst was overseas. He's like, this does not even compare to a, you know, like NBA Finals Game 7. You think it's loud, March Madness. You know, you think it's loud here. It is a whole different animal. And that's,
in the camp that I don't think the NBA has good crowd environments. Obviously, there's a couple, like mm-hmm. you know, some cities have it more than others.
Prime,
like,
Golden State was good. Golden State
was one.
Heat, Toronto, Miami.
Back when they had Kawhi, was really good. Cavs,
the big three,
LeBron back in yeah. the 2016 time.
The but, big three Miami team was really good crowd.
Other than that, like compared to college and overseas, NBA struggles with crowd engagement. And mm-hmm. OKC has had a decent one recently.
New York has always had a good one. Boston's always had a good one. Philadelphia.
Yeah, those are good, but I still think.
Oh, they're good. Be better.
They're underneath the level of college and overseas.
100%. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that like you have like honestly you could like count them on your hand, the good ones in the NBA, and then the rest it's like Charlotte. Guess, it's like you know
where I'm coming from. This is like, you know, a college crowd noise is like, you know, in a football game, you're just screaming the whole time. Like you just make noise. Mm-hmm. And that happens in a college basketball game too. You don't see anything. And really this is the same way for the NFL. You don't see that in NBA or NFL. You know, it's not like, I mean, it is more in the NFL than it is in the NBA, but like, you know, the crowd's not just screaming, making noise. And also there's artificial noise on top of things in NBA. Like they have a organ playing and sound effects going the whole time. You don't have that in college. It's no. Just the crowd screaming at the top of their lungs. A lot of, you know, 18 to 22 year old students screaming.
That's a little alcohol involved.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes that special compared to like professional sports.
No, I agree with you 100%. It's just, you know, that's the one thing that's still pure about the college game to me is the crowd still is consistent. Now, you know, we'll show up, especially in Auburn, like we'll show up. You know, no matter what the record is, I would prefer them be good. That's just me, though. I'm sure everyone would agree with me on that. And we're getting closer and closer to football season. So I can't wait, man. I really can't. But you know what else I can't wait to see? People in their gear from AUShirts.com. Go to AUShirts.com to get all your gear from all the shows at the barn. You see some of the options on your screen, the Barn Hard shirt, the FE Iron shirt. If you know, you know. On that one, the Book shirt, the C5 hoodies, and the Book hat. We also have some other options for you on the website as well. We add new styles weekly. Again, be sure if you get anything from AUShirts.com to tag me, Graham, or the barn, whether you are in the game in Atlanta against Baylor, or not in the game, at the game rather, at a home game in Jordan-Hare, at your tailgate, or on the road, or at home. You're just having a watch party at home, and you're sporting your gear from AUShirts.com. Be sure to tag me, Graham, or the barn, all the above, to be shout out on the show. We would love to see you sporting your gear from AUShirts.com. So again, if you want to get all your gear from all your favorite shows at the barn, go to AUShirts.com.
Also, while you're at it, go to buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people. I don't know why it's not coming up. There we go. Be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you're an Auburn business owner, then buyauburn.com is the place for you to get your business on an index that is full of other Auburn supporters. Or if you're just a customer and a fan, then buyauburn.com is another great place for you to go so that you can support the Auburn family and the Auburn fan base whenever and wherever you can. Like I've said before, if you're going to the Baylor Auburn game in Atlanta, then go to buyauburn.com and see if there's anything in the area that you can support while you are there. So like I said, go to buyauburn.com to sign up or search the index today.
Yeah, please do that when you... and honestly... Whenever you know somebody that has a local business and has ties to Auburn, let them know about buyauburn.com because it is growing by the handfuls every single day. So, again, that is buyauburn.com. Graham, moving on to the back end of the show. It was a graphic that was put out, I guess, today, but I guess it was announced over the weekend that our backfield is on a award watch list.
Yeah, absolutely. So Auburn football posted on their socials. You said today. And two of our star players, one we're assuming that will hopefully be a star player, but one is, I consider, already a star player.
Yeah, Cobb.
Cobb is a star Auburn star player. Jeremiah Cobb, Auburn running back, and Byron Brown, Auburn quarterback, have been named on the Maxwell Award watch list.
Yeah, they have.
A lot of players get named on this watch list every year. But basically, the Maxwell Award is an annual college football award that is honoring and presented to the best all-around player in the United States. Not just offense, defense, it's everybody. And I want to see, actually...
It wouldn't shock me. Like, I'm not shocked that either of them are on this list, but it would not shock me if Cobb has a, like, obviously last year he had a pretty good year. Obviously, he almost broke 1,000 yard rushing. I think he can break that this year, personally, with what Golich and the system were running.
In order to win this, like, your team's going to have to, like, you're going to have to be basically the face of college football that year.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's the only one player, and it's the best player all around in college football. I'm gonna go through who's won it since 2010, and you'll see how like perceive, like how, like, oh, but yeah, okay, that, like, wow, you have to be the face of the sport and your team has to probably have done pretty well. So obviously 2010, you can guess it, Cam Newton won. No surprise there. 2011, Andrew Luck.
I'm not shocked by that.
I actually, every single person from now on that I list will be a Heisman finalist or winner. Yeah.
Because the year that Luck won the award was the same year, correct me if I'm wrong, when RG3 won Heisman, correct?
No.
It was either 2011 or 2012, right?
RG3 won 2012?
It's somewhere in there.
Yeah. But anyway, 2012 is Manti Te'o, who was a Heisman finalist. 2013, AJ McCarron. 2014, Marcus Mariota. 2015, Derrick Henry. 2016, Lamar Jackson. 2017, Baker Mayfield. 2018, Tua Tagovailoa. 2019, Joe Burrow. 2020, Devontae Smith. 2021, Bryce Young. 2022, Caleb Williams. 2023, Michael Penix Jr. 2024, Ashton Gentry. And 2025, Fernando Mendoza. So, like, so
some of them are Heisman winners.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised 2024. Travis Hunter didn't win. I was actually expecting Travis Hunter to have won that because, you know, he played both offense and defense. And honestly, like, that was the year that everyone thinks Ashton Gentry should have won the Heisman. I'm also in that camp, I think.
I am too.
But I am kind of surprised just because, you know, all the hype was around Travis Hunter. I'm actually, like, I'm pleased to see that Ashton Gentry won this award and not, you know, Travis Hunter. But I am shocked that it wasn't. But yeah, like I said, you have to be the face of the sport to win this award. All these guys, you know, are top or first round pick, top 10 pick, even that. I mean, literally all of them, literally every single one of them, was a top 10 pick.
The one I'm thinking
might not have been is Michael Penix Jr. and maybe Devontae Smith, but, like, other than that,
Michael Penix, I'm trying to think, that draft was a late first round pick. Yeah, Michael Penix, if I remember right, he got drafted by the Falcons. He's still there. It was early. Cause I remember the whole controversy. It's like, why are we, you know, there are a lot of their fans. Why are we drafting a quarterback with our pick?
It's like, we just signed Kirk Cousins. Why did we just draft a quarterback?
Yeah. Also, you like two injury-prone quarterbacks, but this isn't a Falcons show.
He was drafted eighth overall, so he was top 10.
Yeah. So, I'm convinced that, like I said, I think Cobb could easily win this award if we are good. Like you said, you essentially have to be the face of college football. Do I think we'll be the face of college football this year? No, I don't. But
I think Byram could win it too if he could put up numbers like he did in the last year. If Byram could repeat what he did last year at an SEC school in Auburn, kind of relevant at the end of the year, there's a chance. Because if Byram repeats that, then he's got to be in the Heisman conversation. I don't see how he's not. Byram could theoretically win this. Yeah.
I mean, I could see it, you know, playing out if we, because you're talking about have to be somewhat relevant, I guess. Then if we go 9-3, like some people are predicting, like I did earlier in the summer, which we will have an updated, record pick prediction episode closer to football season, featuring somebody that y'all know very well. That'll be a lot of fun. A little tease there. But yeah, I agree with you. I think if we can go 9-3 and Byron puts up the same numbers he put up at USF on a, you know, in the SEC, it wouldn't shock me if he wins this either. I mean, it's almost, he could be a shoo-in for it if, you know, we play our cards right. But do I think we will be the face of college football this year? I don't personally. I could be wrong about that. I hope I eat crow and then I hope I'm very wrong. We are. But I just don't see that happening. But, you know, I think 8-4, 9-3 is not too far fetched. I'll be honest. Yep. I know I've seen 7-5. I believe in that too. That's our worst, I think personally, is 7-5. I think that 8-4 is the sweet spot. 9-3 is kind of like, okay, I could see us being, you know, somewhat decent and get 9 wins, 3 losses. I'm not mad about that at all.
I would be happy with a winning record in year one under Alex Golsh.
Me too.
If we had a 7-5 or an 8-4, 8-4, I'd be ecstatic. 7-5, I'd be like, all right.
If we went 9-3 and we, you know, going into that 9-3 season, we were just outside the top 10 in recruiting, or, you know, right at 10 in the top 10 in recruiting. Shoot, you tell me that was Golish's first year as head coach. Stop it. That would be a godsend.
If we go really If we go 9-3, I'm going to be unbearable for about 6 months.
Honestly, same. Oh, man. But real quick, before we get out of here, we got to nerd out real quick. I saw the new Spider-Man movie over the weekend. Graham has seen it too. So good. So good.
Twice already.
I'm seeing it when this airs at 7. I'm seeing it at 8:30 with a buddy of mine from Auburn. So yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
I'm on premiere night, Thursday nights. And then
I texted you Thursday afternoon because I want to go see it super early on Thursday because I had nothing else going on. I'd gotten most of my I got everything done early because I knew I was going to be going on that bachelor trip. So I was like, I'll just go see it now. And I'm glad I did, because that is, and you know, opinions are different for everybody, but my favorite Spider-Man movie of all time was Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire. That one was so good. Very, very well done. You know, the Peter Parker, you know, it's hard to be Spider-Man and Peter Parker dynamic. This movie cranked it to, you know, an 11. Like, I was like, holy crap. I was like thinking, there's no way this can be topped. And they just, every time there was some type of like internal struggle with Peter trying to be, you know, two places at once, I was like, dude, this is great. And like, it was a very relatable Peter Parker in this movie too. Like in the kind of the current, you know, social climate that we're in,
yeah,
with like, you know, things going on and, you know, just the way life has moved, you know, compared to 10 years ago, how it feels like it's just moving all gas, no brakes all the time. Very relatable for, you know, obviously anybody, but specifically for like young adults, I think it's very, very relatable. So, but definitely get to the movie to see it. I loved it. I gave it a 10 out of 10. Probably will still think that when, you know, things are all said and done after my second and potentially third viewing this week too. So, but yeah, definitely get to the theater. But Graham, what do you think? You liked it?
Yeah, I think this is just because it's when I grew up, but and I don't get heat for this, I don't care. My favorite Spider-Man movie before this was The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I don't understand the hate on that.
I'm not mad at that.
It's got some of the best Spider-Man action and one of the best villains in Spider-Man history. And some of the best, like, you know, swinging. I really like The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And I also just like Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker. But with that being said, after seeing this, Tom Holland is the best Peter Parker with hands down. It's not even close anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's no debate.
By far, he's the best Peter Parker. And this is my favorite Spider-Man movie of all time now. Absolutely love John Bernthal as the Punisher in this movie. So phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, overall,
further than that. Zendaya did kill it too.
Zadie Sink killed it. I won't disclose anything more than that, but she did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, she is in this movie. She is in this movie. We won't say it's very public that she is in this movie. She has a role, but we won't say who, unless you were just, you know, one of these people that likes to dig deep into spoilers, you know, before a movie even comes out like 6 months in advance. I don't do that, but very, very good. So, but yeah, other than that, I don't have anything else to add. Graham, you got anything?
Nope.
Cool. Y'all make sure to like, subscribe, hit the like button, turn on the notification bell, all that fun stuff, and check out the other shows on The Barn as well. Check out everything on our website, follow us on socials. And yeah, with that being said, my name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. We hope you have a great rest of your night. And as always, War Damn. And folks, football is almost here.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Thursday, we got live football. Woo! NFL Hall of Fame game. Go check it out.
Can't wait. See y'all soon. War damn.
See y'all. Goodbye.